Jim Taylor back on WRMJ and WRMJ.com. We get a chance to visit with Sherrard High School head basketball coach Brian Hutton, who's been doing it for a long time. And we're talking with him on Monday morning, May the 11th, and the National Federation of State High School Associations. They just put out a release today that, and I'll quote it directly, a proposal for a national rule mandating a shot clock, as well as a proposal to allow a shot clock by state adoption, were not approved. Brian Hutt, what do you think of that?
Well, being somewhat of a basketball traditionalist, I like the idea because I was very concerned about shot clock and how that's going to change high school basketball. And so I'm pretty happy that they decided not to incorporate it.
And you look at the strategy aspect of it. When you have a shot clock, that means you cannot take the air out of the basketball, right, if you want to slow down the game?
Yeah, and there are three games that come to my mind right away that we did that and actually gave ourselves a little bit more of a chance. In fact, one, two out of the three, we did it against Allman way back in 2001. And had we not done that, I think they're averaging almost 70 points a game, and we held them to 48, primarily because we took a lot of the air out of the ball. We did it again to Lorient. I can't remember what year it was, 2004. I think I've been coaching way too long. But when they were the number one seed coming in, and they averaged 63 or 64 points, and we held them to 36 in that game. And then even when Ethan Happ was a senior at Rock Ridge, and we played them in a regional at Sherrard, and the score at halftime, I think it was 18-12, and we had played them earlier in the year, and they had beat us by like 40-something, so it gives us a little more chance how they end up beating us at the end of that game, and quite easily, but at least it gives us a chance of going in at halftime that we thought maybe we could make a little bit of a run here and shock some people, but I think it takes away that strategy part from coaches.
And then the other aspect that you think about is the administrative standpoint of it. Somebody's got to operate the shot clock, and the cost of installing the shot clock. And then you even look at, we're talking about high school level, so varsity games, JV games, freshman games, and then the potential, I guess, trickle down, would you have to look at eventually junior high and youth basketball too?
Well, you definitely have to get them used to it. I mean, you can't just throw that on kids on a given year and hope they can adjust to it. And obviously, there's a lot of different coaching strategies going into it if you have a shot clock, as far as how you run your last 12 seconds of a shot clock. And so, you have to start incorporating it down as you go through the system, because otherwise you have kids coming up and it's going to be a shock to them. And you're right to the administrative costs. Already trying to find enough people to work games is difficult. To add another person and then some more technology into it really could create a mess for some high schools.
Yeah, and then you look at the length of a shot clock at the high school level. You know, are you talking 30, you talking 35, you talking 45? I guess that's another part of the equation that probably is eventually going to need some type of discussion, because you probably realize that eventually, I mean, a shot clock is coming to high school basketball. I don't know what year it'll be, but it's going to happen, don't you think?
Oh, I think at some point in time it will, and you're exactly right. That's going to be the big debate, is how long. I'd propose an 8-minute shot clock that would take us to each quarter. But, I think you're probably looking at that 35-40 range initially for high school, just because it'll give coaches a little time. Because it's a complete change for coaches as far as their strategy going into a game, and they have a lot more things they have to do. I mean, we run a very open offense as far as giving kids a lot of choices as far as they want to do. I think you got to take some of that away if you're talking about limited time, and if the shorter that time period goes, the more you have to take it away. But I've talked to a couple coaches about it, and I just think, like I said, at high school level, there's some problems with it. You know, we don't have those shot creators and types of people at every high school level, and I think maybe at the end of the shot clock, you're going to see a lot of bad shots taken by high school kids.
Well, you've been, I know, an education coach for over, I think, 30 years as a teacher and a coach, and, you know, navigating your way through this COVID-19 thing, both as a teacher and a coach. So there's all these questions that remain unanswered, I guess, going into the next school year. How have you been approaching this, or what type of light can you shed on this?
Well, it's a very strange situation, and, you know, usually April, May, coaches are busy getting their stuff ready for the summertime, whether it be, you know, getting registered for shootouts and setting up their own basketball camps and trying to find places for some kids to go that want to maybe really improve their skills. And right now that stuff's kind of on hold. We've got one official cancellation from Monmouth. They're not going to hold their shootout that they typically do down at the college. And Tom Sigel sent out an email this week saying, hey, Justin, sharp shootout's on hold right now. We're hoping to get it in, but we don't know yet. And so it's kind of weird just trying to figure out that part of it as far as what we're going to do, if anything, all summer long. It sounds like a lot of these shootouts want to cram it into July, and then you get year-round weekends, obviously, for that. Getting kids, you know, getting stronger and faster is another big issue, and I'm planning on talking to Coach Munson this week sometime as far as trying to get some online workouts that kids can do since they won't have access to the school. And obviously the open gyms, you know, being shut down, and we're going to have to work on some skill stuff on our own. And so all that kind of stuff is brand new to coaches. I think they're trying to scramble and try to figure that stuff out. But, you know, it's unfortunate. It is what it is, and we have to figure out how to make the best of it.
Yeah, and I guess just as you follow along, how worried are you, you know, you want to be in the classroom. There's no question about that. And this is just Brian Hutton speaking to Jim Taylor. You're speaking on your own behalf. I'm speaking on my own behalf. How optimistic are you of being in the classroom with students when the fall rolls around? And then how optimistic are you of, I'll even say, in the winter, playing basketball next year?
You know, it's one of those things that there's the one part of me that definitely wants to get back in the classroom and all that. But boy, you're so reading what the state of Illinois is doing as far as some of their protocol to get schools up and running, and I just don't know how it's going to work. I do remain a little bit optimistic with it. Hopefully that we can start getting things a little bit more under control as the summer progresses and get things back to as near normal as we can. You know, I've been doing a lot of reading and stuff online about different philosophies on handling this type of pandemic. And, you know, there are some people said, hey, we need to start getting back out. We need to get more people exposed. The ones that are healthy enough to do so should get exposed to it. So we get the herd immunity system going and all that. But it's tough. Like we say, when you take a look at Governor Pritzker's his plan and getting it back in and up and running, it looks very difficult to do. And you take a look at that plan, but it kind of erases some of that optimism.
All right. And I know hopefully the one positive that comes out of this, maybe we take a lot of this stuff for granted. You know, I don't think the attendance was like it should be at some of these high school events, and maybe even some of these participation numbers have been declining with some of these different programs. And maybe out of this, we won't take things like that for granted, and we'll see better crowds at games, more kids participating, and more people, I guess, finding the educational experience more enjoyable with kids in the classroom. Because you know it's serious when you hear kids saying, man, I really miss being in the classroom at school.
Yeah. And that's kind of the nice thing. You know, we've been doing a lot of Zoom meetings with one of my classes especially. And it's good to hear the kids say, I miss coming to school. Because, you know, when they're at school, it's like, oh, this place is horrible. I can't wait to get out of here. But you have a lot of kids saying, yeah, I really miss coming to school. I miss the routine of it all. And, you know, as far as sports go, I feel so terrible for all the seniors especially that miss their final sports season. You know, I take a look at a lot of the basketball players I had played baseball and a couple ran track. And they don't get to participate in that last part. I mean, you feel bad for them. Because I think especially the baseball team had a chance to make some pretty good noise here in the spring, and they didn't get the opportunity to do so. So you feel bad for that, and hopefully it will send that message that, hey, your time in high school is quite limited. You need to take advantage of those things.
Yeah, and I think the other thing, too, as we wrap up here, and I was thinking about what the two of those kids were back from the 4x4 state championship relay team that they had last year at Sherrard, too. So I know they were excited about that opportunity. But it's weird that, you know, I look at, you know, just my position, and I think, man, it was just really in mid-March I did games. I was broadcasting games.
Right.
But doesn't it seem like forever ago that we were at organized interscholastic athletics with fans in attendance? It's so weird because it seems so long ago, but it really wasn't that long ago.
Yeah, it does. And we were shared, actually, Becky and I took Leah over to Kewanee to do a driveway visit with her parents yesterday, and it's the first time I got Leah's out of the house since, like, March 16th, other than from a couple quick drives up to school and waiting out in the car for me. But it's kind of bizarre how it does seem like it just seems forever that we've been out and socializing. And so hopefully we can get back things back to a little bit more normal. I think, like, a lot of politicians and medical people have said, probably the normal we knew is gone for a long, long time, but hopefully we get closer to that.
All right, Coach, I hope I see you in the hospitality room, and we'll have a hospitality room at the 10 and 32 tip-off classic at Orion. Please let there be a basketball season and a football season and a golf season and a volleyball season, soccer season, whatever you name it. So we want to see the kids back competing, and we want to see the kids back in school. We hope to see you down the road, Coach. Thanks for the help today. Appreciate it.
You bet. Take care.
All right, Brian Hutton with us on WRMJ.